We're thankful this afternoon that we have the privilege to preach the Word of God. We're not worthy, not fit within ourselves. The old flesh wants to be in competition. And I can think of many things about the old flesh that I don't like. I'm sure the Lord's not pleased with. But I thank God that He called me to preach His Word. He first of all called me to salvation. And then He called me to preach the unsearchable riches of His Word. This I know, and it looks like after all these years, a fellow wouldn't be nervous when he gets in the pulpit. I'm always nervous when I get in my own pulpit. Because it is a privilege to preach the Word of God. But along with preaching the Word of God, there becomes a tremendous responsibility. Because what I preach, I will meet one day in eternity. I will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for what I've preached and for the truth that He's entrusted me with. He gives me the tremendous responsibility of sharing that truth with others. I bring you greetings from Northside Baptist Church of Elkton, Kentucky, where the Lord's allows me to live to the first Sunday in July. I will have been there 20 years. And we will be having a Bible conference the 12th, 13th, and 14th of May, starting on Thursday night and going through the afternoon service on Saturday. We invite you to come, any that possibly can, and be with us and enjoy the fellowship and the preaching of the Word of God. Each conference we've had, this is about the fourth or fifth one, each conference we've had, it seems like the Lord's been with us, and we're looking and praying and hoping for the best conference that we've ever had. And if you're coming and you need a place to stay, we will as much as possible, we will definitely provide a place for the speakers to stay. And as much as possible, and on first come, first serve basis, you'll call me ahead of time, we'll try to provide you a place to stay. And provide you meals and the fellowship of God's people at Northside Baptist Church. Brother Titus scared me a moment ago, double scared me when he talked about singing. Because if you ever heard me sing, you'd be thankful to God that He called me to preach. When I was doing mission work in Elkton before Northside Baptist Church became a mission, I told them if we ever got 30 people there that I'd sing a solo. So one Sunday morning, one of the ladies sent me a note to the pulpit. Said, "Brother Smith, you promised and there are 30. So I sing. And then when I got through, I said, "If we ever have a time that we don't have 30, I'll sing again." Folks, we've never had under 30 since that time. That's all I can tell you. We've never had under 30 since that time. And my wife is thankful for that, and I'm just about as thankful as anybody is for that. But anyway, we get down into the most serious part, the purpose that I'm in this pulpit for this evening. I thank God for the opportunity. I thank Brother Titus and Home Baptist Church for the privilege that I have and to come and to preach the Word of God. And I will share with you now what the Lord has already given unto me. You know the Lord is your Savior. You pray for me as we expound upon the Word of God. We find as we look into the Word of God in the book of Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1 verses 26 and 27. We're going to have several verses of scripture here. God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female. Then we find in Romans chapter 8, book of Romans chapter 8, looking in verse 29 and 30, we find a very familiar passage of Scripture to most of us, yet nevertheless, it is the inspired Word of God. "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified." We will look also in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, in the book of 1 Peter here, and reading from verse 9 through 16. receiving the end of faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation prophets have inquired, searching diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified therefore beforehand the sufferings of Christ in the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look upon unto. Wherefore, gird up your lines of your minds, be sober, hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance, but as he which have called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, you might ask, what do these three passages of Scripture have to do with one another? And this is the Lord would give me grace to this afternoon. I'm going to try to show as God gives the grace to do so with. Without him, I can do nothing, and I'm totally and completely dependent upon the Lord. And therefore, we will try to follow what the Lord leads us to say and to do here this afternoon. So we find, first of all, salvation, of course, is of the Lord. We that are true to the Word of God and are true Baptists, we believe that salvation is of the Lord. Salvation terminologies are used. Salvation is being saved from a penalty of sin. Salvation is becoming a son of God. Salvation is a change of heart, and salvation is to be conformed to the image of Christ. Now, you don't have one without having the other. You're not predestinated to one without being predestinated to the other. You cannot divide the Romans chapter 8 and 29. It cannot be divided, because it is teaching in 29 and 30. It is speaking of the elect of God. It is speaking of those whom he did foreknow. It is speaking of those whom he did predestinate. It is speaking of those who predestinated not only to become the sons of God, but also to be conformed to his image. Now, I am simply saying here this afternoon in so many words that I believe that a person that is saved by God's grace, I believe that person will be in a process, and you will call this sanctification, but you will be in the process of conforming to the image of Christ. Amen. Never completely there until the end of this life and we go into the portals of glory, but there will be a beginning and there will be a new person. Our salvation is being born again, and therefore, if there is a new birth, then there is also a new life. A new life will not come unless there has been a new birth. So as we have the command of God here now, in the first chapter of the book of 1 Peter, and in the 16th verse, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now I do believe, beloved, that Baptists have been scared off of this word holiness by the heretics. But I want to say to you, beloved, it is a Bible word. Don't get all shook up over the word holy, because the Word of God teaches us that those that are in the Lord Jesus Christ will live holy and godly in this present world. Now, we're not talking about perfection, but I will say unto you this afternoon, we need to run backwards over the word perfection either, because that should be the desire and the goal of every born-again person, as perfection. I certainly do not have that, and I will not obtain that this side of eternity, but I thank God that there will be a day when perfection will come, and that will be long, of course, after I have left this earth. And as we look at this tonight, or rather this afternoon, or this evening, we find the command of God from God's own word is to be holy, for I am holy. Now, we find, as we look at this for a little while, upon this thought that the being holy or being conformed to the image of Christ is what this message will be all about this afternoon. And upon this thought, we must serve a holy God. We do serve a holy God. And God's desire is that his people will live godly and holy. And he desires holiness from his people.
We who are saved by God's grace are then to have a high standard of moral conduct. I believe today that it is a sad thing that has come into our society and into our churches when God's people that are called by God's name, who are supposed to be those that have been before known and supposed to be those who have been predestinated unto salvation, they want to live like they were predestinated just to be out of hell, but they were not predestinated for anything else. Beloved, if we're going to preach predestination, we need to preach predestination all the way. Because if it is predestinated, I thank God that 42 years ago I come to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. But I would tell you also that I was in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. And He foreknew me before I was ever born. And He sent His Son to make an atonement on the cross before I was ever born. He sent His Word. You don't have one of these without the other now. He sent His Word to be preached unto me at the appointed time that God had chose for it to be preached unto me. He sent His Holy Spirit, that His Holy Spirit would come upon me with godly conviction at that time. And then He brought me unto life and to salvation, the salvation that had been preordained for me before the foundation of the world. In fact, my name was written down before the world ever began. And so therefore, we establish the fact that we believe, of course, in predestination. But now, beloved, tonight, or rather this afternoon, as we look at this, we must remember some things now. If it is our desire to be holy because He is holy, then we must put some things in their perspective. Because first of all, there is the command of God. There is the statement in Romans 8:29, just as much as it is in other places, that whom He did predestinate to become sons of God, He also predestinated to become in the image of Christ. And so therefore, as we look at this for a little while, you know, I constantly as a pastor run into things, statements that are constantly being made. Oh, he or she, they're saved, but they don't live for the Lord. There is no such a thing. There is no such a thing. Now you understand, I'm not talking about a person that can't backslide. I know the difference in that, but I want you to know that person that has never had a desire in his or her heart to conform to the image of Christ or to be holy, that person needs to be saved. Amen. Because, beloved, they did not get predestinated out of hell and predestinated to heaven without getting the rest. You don't have one without having the other. Predestination has to go all the way or it is not scriptural. Therefore, we find as we look at this now, we must remember some things. We must remember then that in Romans chapter 3 and verses 10 through 23 gives us a description of what man is like. We will look at that for a few moments now, beginning to read in verse 10 of the third chapter of the book of Romans. The third chapter of the book of Romans, beginning to read now in verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. There therefore is an open sepulchre, which with their tongues they have used deceit, the poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall be no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon them, all them that believe, there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now this is a bleak picture that the Word of God paints about man. Dear ones, tonight, rather this afternoon, it is also the teaching throughout the entirety of the Word of God that man is no good within himself. So we find that we must remember then that God is a holy God and man is a depraved being. We find as much as it is God's nature, His total nature to be holy, it is man's human nature to be sinful. So therefore, as we look at this for a little while, God is holy, meaning that He is perfect in all respects. that he is always perfect in his doings. He's perfect in all of his work. We find and is always motivated by these traits. But by contrast, we find man is a rebel. Man is a rebel. He's a violator of God's law.
Amen.
A doer of evil. And he's unjust in his dealings. And is motivated by a desire to receive personal gain. Now that is what man is. Now this will take the wind out of our sails, because before any individual has ever come to know Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior, first of all, they must see themselves as being just this: totally depraved and void of anything that's good. Man's righteousness in the eyes of God is his filthy rags in the eyes of God. So man cannot save himself. He is a rebel. He will not even desire that. He is a violator of God's law, instead a doer of evil. Unjust in his dealing is always motivated, as we've already said, by desire for personal gain from all of his dealings. But we find in contrast now, in John chapter 5 and verse 24, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life." And then Romans 8 and 1 tells you what that person will be like. That person that has passed from death unto life, that has experienced the new birth, that person then, the Bible tells us in Romans 8 and 1, says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus," who don't stop with that now, "but who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." So therefore, we get this into perspective. These are some thoughts that we need to deal with before we get into this business of being holy. The Bible says, as we've used for our text verse, "Be ye holy, for God is a holy being." Amen. So we find, as we look at this for a little while, when Christ Jesus comes into the heart, we become partakers of God's holiness. Now, we don't become completely holy, because that would be perfection, but we become partakers of his holiness. Therefore, I am told, in this just a side thought, don't use too many illustrations, but I will use just this one. I am told that when my dad was my age, that we would just look like two twin brothers if we had him back at my age and we'd walk in together. And I don't know, I'm honored that somebody tells me that, because he is my earthly father. He's always going on to be with the Lord, of course. But if I look that way, and if I look like my earthly father, there is a reason for that, because I am of his seed. And beloved, just as sure as we are predestinated and called unto salvation, the seed of God has been planted into our hearts, and we become in the image of Christ.
Amen.
I believe, beloved, tonight, or rather this afternoon, that we need to realize this as pastors. And we have people in our churches who will not conform to the image of Christ, who will not follow after holiness. And most of the time, I believe with all of my heart, the reason for that is they've never come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I believe one of the reasons why that we have church problems, it may not be the total reason, the devil fights the church, of course, but I believe one of the reasons that we have church problems is because of old rebels sitting there that has never come to know Jesus Christ. They don't have a speck of holiness in them. They don't have any desire to live holy. We have people at Northside Baptist Church that they feel like if they get to church every now and then, everybody ought to keep their mouth shut, especially the pastor. If they just get there every now and then, they don't love the church. They don't have any desire to live godly. They don't have any desire to be holy. They're not partakers of any God's holiness. And if the truth was brought out, and only God knows 100% certain on that, but if the truth is brought out, it is because they have never experienced saving grace.
Amen.
I believe tonight, brother, this afternoon, that the Word of God teaches us in the Gospel of John chapter 10 and 27. Now, we're using very familiar passages of Scripture, but yet don't you ever get hung up on a verse of Scripture just because it's familiar, because it will never become too familiar with you. You'll never understand the total concept of any verse of Scripture this side of eternity. You will understand what the Lord and the revealing power and the teaching of His Holy Spirit sees fit to reveal unto us, and nothing more. That's what we'll understand. And I will say, as we look at this for a little while, though, of course, John 10 and 27, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Now, I want us to go back and look at that just for a few moments. And John, as we said, chapter 10 and verse 27, we find as we deal with it a little further now, John 10 and 27, he said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And who is it that he gives eternal life? And I give them." Who does he give eternal life? Who has eternal life? Those that are his sheep, those that will hear his voice, and those that will follow him. Now those are the ones that were predestinated, and the reason we know who they were, because they've come to Christ, and therefore just coming to Christ and never serving the Lord doesn't tell me one thing. It does not make any difference what a profession of faith they may have made, how much weeping it may have been there. Beloved, if there is a birth, there is travailing before the birth, but there is the joy of salvation after birth. So I would say, as we look at this, he said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." I think that's self-explanatory. And I would say, as we look at this then, he said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." We're to be holy in our dealings. We're to be holy in our conversation. We're to be holy in our attitude. We're to be holy in our code of dress and our appearance. We're to be holy. And our conduct as Christians, as saved people, will be holy. So as we deal with this for a little while, there are several things now, as time would permit, there are several things and several faults that we need to examine when we are dealing with this matter of being predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ and being predestinated to be holy because he is holy. Then there are several things that we must understand, and as the Lord lays upon our heart and deals with us with, we will try to expound upon. First of all, we look at Matthew 28 and 18. If you want to go back with me now for a few moments, 28:18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power or all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth." Now, first of all, if we're to be conformed to the image of Christ, if we're to be holy as he is holy, in order to be holy, we must remember that all authority in heaven and on earth belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. We must recognize him as the supreme head of the church. We must recognize him as the supreme authority in our lives. Beloved, tonight, as we look at this, in heaven, all authority in heaven and earth unto Christ our Lord, we must submit ourselves unto his authority. I do believe tonight, brother, this afternoon, I do believe that a person that's been saved, they have a little desire in their heart to honor God, to honor him with their heart and with their life. And because there is, they will recognize his authority. Now, I talk to people constantly and continually as their pastor that don't give a hoot, if you pardon my thoughts, about what the Word of God says. They're not worried about the authority of Christ because they don't want nobody and nothing, even God himself, telling them what they must do. We have lost numbers because of this. They got tired. One told me one time, said, "Preacher," said, "you've shook that long finger in my face your last time," and out they went. Well, I said, "Thank God," when the door closed, because I done got tired of shaking my finger too, to be honest with you. I done got tired of teaching the first dead people, living fast, trying to teach a dead person something that's living. And as far as I'm concerned, and going out and grazing the fields of sin, and when God is ready for it, he will bring him around if he's his. But I would say in this, as we look at this for a little while, he is to be in control if we are to be holy, if we are to, one of the traits of a Christian, one of the earmarks, is that he is in control of our life. Being Christian is to be Christ-like. And I would say as we deal with this, he is to be in control of our lives. We must all remember that we're not owned, but we're bought with a price. I have no right to direct my life. And I am like the rest of the brethren many times. The old flesh rises up and wants to follow the flesh. Don't ever think that it don't happen, because it does happen. And the old flesh has to be buffeted. The old flesh has to be disciplined. Because every time we got a problem in the church, it might look like it's small as a mouse to you, but to this pastor it looks as big as an elephant. You follow me? And every time we get a problem, I sort of feel like maybe the Lord's leading me somewhere else. You see what I mean? But I will tell you this much. when I come down to it and recognize the authority of Christ, I don't have any right to decide to go anywhere else. I don't have any right to jump the fence to what might look like greener grass, because it might be burned up the time I got there. But I would say unto you, beloved, as we deal with this for a little while, in order to be holy, we've got to recognize that Christ has a claim upon our life.
Amen.
We have been bought with a price.
Amen.
I would say unto you, it is high time that God's people recognized that He is in control, and that He has the authority and every right to tell me to do, not to do, to go, or to stay. So as we deal with this for a little while, a little long, let's remember, as we said, that we're blood, blue, blood bought. We have no right to defy the authority. And we must, as we live by His commands, as God gives us the grace to do so with. Remember how I said that? All right. The text verse then said, be ye holy because He is holy. And then we're dealing with the subject of predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. And as we deal with this for a little while, in Acts chapter 8, chapter 9, and verse 6, we find Saul of Tarsus, as he met the Lord on the road to Damascus. We find in Acts chapter 9, looking in verse 4 through 6, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the bricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Beloved, we have the evidence of salvation. We have the evidence of a new birth in Saul of Tarsus, who was the murderer, who was the church hater, who was a God hater, and who was a hater of the Word of God. But we find this same man, by a miracle working power known to us as the amazing grace of God, came upon him, and then he, trembling and astonished, he didn't care anything about the authority of Christ before this Damascus Road experience. He didn't care anything about the authority of the church before the Damascus Road experience. But we find, beloved, that he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will thou have me do? We find the miracle working power of God in His amazing grace there. We find the man that hated the Word of God, hated the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, hated the Lord's church. We find him trembling and with a fear of God in his heart, and we find him crying out, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Then we find him shortly after that being baptized into the very church that he had started, that he had tried to scatter. So we find to be holy, it begins with a new birth. And there comes a desire automatically at the new birth to serve the Lord.
Amen.
There comes a desire for holiness.
Amen.
Now, I do not believe people will serve the Lord to a great extent until they're taught.
Amen.
But I believe people have, but the desire to serve the Lord comes automatically. That is the beginning of, sanctification.
Right.
And so as we deal with this for a little while, and like I say, don't as Baptists, let's don't get scared to death of the word sanctification, because it is a Bible word. It's not the second grace. Beloved, it is all in the package of grace. The package of grace contains the doctrine of election, and the crude way of putting it, I'm sure. The package of grace includes the doctrine of election and the doctrines of grace. The package of grace includes the desire to serve the Lord and the holiness that begins at the time of salvation. I will say unto you, as we deal with this and look at this a little more extensively now, as the time, of course, would permit, we must be surrendered then. The thought here before us in this Acts chapter 9 and verse 6 is we must be surrendered to the will of God in order to be holy. In order to be holy, we cannot supersede our will over His will, but we must have a complete and total surrender to the will of God. Now, this business of surrender, I have a message on that too, that God gave me a long time ago, and I preach it to my people a lot. But I would say unto you, the people that the Lord has given me, they are mine because I am the pastor. I want to be very careful with that. I'm not worried about how much you would misunderstand me. I'm worried about the fact I want to be right in what I'm preaching, okay? They're the Lord's people, and I have been placed there as the under-shepherd. All right, as we look at this for a little while, the surrender to God's will. As we said, in order to be holy, one must then be committed and surrendered unto God's will and purpose in a life. How surrendered are we to God's will? I appreciate men that will take their stand upon what the will of God is. And I'm not dealing in human flattery. I thank God for Brother Gary Phillips. I thank God that the Lord has called him to the backside of the world or to halfway around the world. And Brother Gary Phillips has said, I'm going. And so we believe that. And I'm not trying to flatter him. I'm just telling you that this is holiness. This is an act of holiness to surrender to the will of God. Now, we find a lot of things that are easy to do, and they're easy to surrender to the will of God. But I submit to you upon the authority of the Word of God that the great blessings of life don't come from the easy things. They come from the difficult things. The blessings of life. And I called a prayer meeting before revival time at Northside Baptist Church at 6 a.m. on Saturday morning. Well, they got there. We had about 10 or 15 sleepy eyes showed up. And they said, Brother Smith, why in the world did you call us over here at 6 o'clock in the morning? I said, I wanted some people that were on praying ground and those that didn't care enough about the church and the Lord to come out here at a time when it was hard to come out here. They wasn't fit to pray anyway and they wasn't on no praying ground. And I'll tell you what, I believe we got a host of the Lord there that morning, because those that were there, they were willing to put forth the effort to come, and it was difficult to come. But I'll tell you what, they just as soon to stay there. Time we got through praying, those that had put out that effort, they just as soon to stay there on through the revival and just camped out behind the church, because they had found that the Lord was in that prayer meeting. But we find as we deal with this, we must be surrendered to the will and purpose of God. How many people, I'll pick on preachers if I'm going to pick on anybody, I'm one, but I would say unto you, how many preachers are totally and completely surrendered to the will of God? I wonder, how many preachers practice holiness in our lives? I wonder. It's always amusing, but it's not amusing, it's sad. To find a little church that can't pay very much, don't have the ability to pay much of a salary, they get without a pastor, and it's nobody feels led of the Lord to that church. But you let one that pays a big salary, they might be as loose as a goose on other things. But every preacher feels like maybe the Lord might be wanting him to go there. You see, what I'm saying to you, beloved, it is a surrender to the will of God and not to our own whims. I told you to begin with that we are rebels and we're always motivated by, in the flesh, we are motivated by what is personal gain for us. I'll tell you what. The Lord has blessed us. He's blessed us with a nice home, blessed us with a church and some nice property there. But I'll be honest with you. I'd rather know I was in the will of God and drive a Model E if I could find one than to ride in a Cadillac and have to worry about the fact I wasn't in the will of God. But beloved, I believe that if that kind of a desire is in my heart, it's because that salvation has come. If that kind of a desire is in my heart, it is because the seed of God has been planted there. If that desire is in my heart, it is because the holiness of God and the sanctification of the Lord began at the time I was saved. All right, so we're going to deal a little further with this now. And we're going to look back in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. There is far too many today in the Lord's church that can't make up their mind who they're for. They cannot make up their mind whether they're going to serve God or Baal. I'll be honest with you, I'd rather have 10 that's going to serve the Lord than have 195% of them want to serve Baal. Because they will run a pastor crazy, and they'll ruin his health, and they'll drive him batty. But I will say unto you, beloved, as we look at this, I wish that God would, I would pray to God that all the Baal worship would get out of our church. Because we'd be better off. But I was saying to you, yet when one leaves, I'll have a screaming fit because I don't like to see them leave because I feel like they got a chance as long as they're under the word. There's opportunity. We'll use the word opportunity there instead of chance. All right, So as we deal with this, there's a dual opinion amongst God's people. Now you have them and I have them and we all have them, And I'm not trying to stand here and whine about my people, because I don't want your church and I don't want you to have mine. I'm where I want to be. I'm where the Lord wants me. But I would say unto you, we've all got them as far as that part is concerned. We've got far too many in Northside Baptist Church that cannot make up their mind who they're for and where, on whose side they're on and who they want to serve. I would say unto you, there is no telling what God could take the faithful members of Northside Baptist Church in Elkton, Kentucky, and do with them if those people that are there, if every one of them was saved. Say, well, get rid of those that's not saved. How are we going to do that? Because one day you'll think they're not, and the next day you'll think they are. It's supposed to that part, so you see what I mean? All right. But I would say unto you, beloved, there's a dual opinion. If we're to live holy, if we're to be holy because He is holy, the desire is there from salvation. All right. Most people want a little religion, but they don't want much. Most pastors want a church where they can do little, but they don't want to do much. And I would say unto you, beloved, and that is the old fleshly nature with every one of us, as far as that part is concerned. But I would say, as we look at this, they want a little religion, but they don't want enough to be accused of being holy. They don't want enough. You know why? Because with that comes the pressure from the world. The world's not going to like you if you're living holy. If you're living a godly and a separated life, the world's not going to like you. And there is too many today that wants to be like the world. And I was saying to you, I preached several years ago, and a lot of people had this fad going on. They was wearing these big Western hats like J.R. Ewing was wearing on. And I made a statement from the pulpit, and I thought a great big fella was asleep, but he wasn't. But I'm going to say this. I made a statement. It's a shame and an abomination to God that you don't want to be Christ-like, but you'd rather look like J.R. Ewing than to look like Christ. Well, he told me about it. He got back to the door, but I would say this. Nevertheless, it was the truth. And I would say here, as we look at this today and deal with this, remember now what we're saying. The predestination of God is a predestination unto salvation. It is a predestination that does keep the one that's been saved out of hell. It is a predestination that brings us from a child of the devil to a son of God. It is a predestination that brings us to a desire to conform to the image of Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 7 teaches us some thoughts on this also as we deal with it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Amen. All right. Now, we have those that teach us, that will refer back at us. Well, Brother Smith, I've got to have a little fun. Well, you watch anybody that starts talking on that basis. Because I got news for you. What we're calling a good time is going to be an abomination to God. We find that we have those that's got too much worldliness in them, that live for the world rather than for the Lord. They live for the paycheck and rather than for the Lord. But I would say here that this is a declared need here in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 7. This is a declared need to be holy, to live holy. And the requirement of God's word is holy and godly living. We find then in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we deal with that. Again, a familiar passage of Scripture, but we will still deal with it anyway. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, of the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. This will stop the whiners. That this will take the whine out of the whiners. That they present their bodies a living sacrifice, which is their reasonable service. All right. We find, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Did not our Savior pray, 17th chapter of John, along about the 17th verse, He said, Father, sanctify them through thy word. And He said, thy word is truth. Now, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed from this world by the renewing of your mind. All right. If we are to live godly and holy in this present world, then we're going to have God's word in perspective in our life. We're going to have to give due regard to the word of God And beloved, I would say as we deal with this, there has not been a new Bible printed. And then there may have been some new so-called translation, but we don't have a new Bible.
Amen.
Same thing that God's Word called sin 6,000 years ago in the Garden of Eden is still sin today.
Amen.
And I believe that the Word of God teaches that the person that has been born again, the person that has been saved, of course the seed of God has been planted, there has been a birth, and there will be a beginning to conform to the image of Christ. And the way that one is to conform to the image of Christ is through the teaching of the Word of God. There you are. Let me say this to you this afternoon. That through the teaching of the Word of God, I'll tell you what's right. What's right is what God's Word calls right. I will tell you what's wrong. What God's Word calls wrong is wrong, and it'll never be any different from that. Never be any different from that. And I believe, maybe to a lesser extent, but I believe in some than others, but I believe a person that has been saved has a little desire in their heart to conform to God's Word, to listen to the Word of God. I haven't got much time for these arguers with the Word of God. I've got much time for that, because I will be glad to state to you anytime, any day, what I believe and why I'm convicted of what I believe is right. But now you might as well be talking to that doorpost as try to change me unless you can prove that God's Word is, unless you can prove that something about God's Word that I don't understand there. Because I don't plan change. Because I would say I quit reading my Bible. Some little child, I used this statement one day in church, and some little child wanted to know what it was. I said, I quit reading my Bibles through the other men's spectacles a long time ago. The little child said, Brother Smith says, what is spectacles? I said, try them on. But anyway, I would say here, as we look at this, and we've got to close, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, we believe it fits here and we use it. I used to be accused of using this whatever I preached. Didn't make a difference whether it fit or not. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, we pretty well know what it is before we get there, but we're going to turn there and read it just the same. All right, let's start in verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship of Christ with righteousness, with unrighteousness? What communion have light with darkness? What concord have Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that believeth with infidels? What agreement have the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will be in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from amongst them and be your servant, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, will be a father unto you. You shall be my sons and daughters, and said the Lord Almighty. I believe, and I preach, and I haven't run off to Michigan to preach this. I preach this to Northside Baptist Church. I get in trouble sometimes. We're preaching at Northside Baptist Church. I may get in trouble preaching in Michigan. I don't know. I don't think so. But if it is, it's still the Word of God, regardless of what anyone thinks about it. God's command from His Word, if we're going to be holy, is to be a separate people. You cannot be separated from the world when you're going to dress like the world. You're going to act like the world. You're going to smell like the world. And you're going to occupy the places that the people of the world occupies. And you're going to go to the same places of recreation that the people of the world go by. You cannot be a serpent thief. I will say there's been more damage done from to the Lord's church and more shame brought to the Lord's church by that than any other thing that I know of. But I will say unto you, as we deal with this, and as we come to the close of the message, now we've talked about godliness. We've talked about holiness, which is one and the same. We've talked about conforming to the image of Christ, which is one and the same. And we are all aware of the fact, regardless of how much of a desire that we have in our heart, we're all aware of the fact that we'll never reach the place of being perfect on this earth, don't we? And I'll say this, we all realize that. My desire is to be a better pastor. My desire is to be a more dedicated Christian. Yet I find there's always a warfare going on that seems to hold me back, and I can't ever be all I want to be. I can't ever be what all I feel the Lord would have me to be. But I will say unto you, there is a better day coming. And as we look in 1 John chapter 3, we look in the first epistle of John chapter 3, and we've got to close in just a moment here. 1 John chapter 3, and we'll hurry on here and try to close out in just a few moments here. 1 John chapter 3, behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall be like him. Read it down, read it again. And I don't think it can be read enough. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Dear ones, I want you to know, there is coming a day when we are the predestinated, we are the called, we are the elect of God, and there is coming a day, friends, when I won't be limited by this old flesh anymore. There's coming a day when the Lord's church won't be limited anymore. Beloved, I will be like him. I will be completely in his image. I will be able to bow at his feet and realize it was all because of the work he did yonder on the cross of Calvary. But I will be able to realize, and once and for all, I will get rid of some things that I've been trying to get rid of for 58 years. I will be rid of it. I will be rid of the old flesh. Beloved, I want you to know this world is not my home. I want you to know I'm an alien from this world. Even though I may act the wrong way, I may talk the wrong way, but I want you to know, beloved, in my heart I'm saved by the grace of God, and God's Holy Spirit dwells there, and there is a deep desire in my heart to live for the Lord. I can't be all I want to be, and I can't serve him as much as I want to be, but thank God one day, one glorious day, we'll be in eternity with him, and we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Thank you, Brother Titus. Amen.